A couple reminder announcements. Well, one's not a reminder, it's a new one. If you notice, we have central air conditioning now. Our condenser is over here on the side of the building. We put a couple concrete posts up there for all you bumper bangers that like to bump into things, which we've already had a couple, at least one close call. So on the side of the building, we ask that you park at an angle. So when you come in, it's easy, just whatever direction you're heading back to the back of the building, come in an angle, and that way people won't have to just pull straight back out. Maybe it'll make it a little easier. We'll try that for a while. We'll see who'll follow orders and who won't. And we'll keep on announcing this for those who are not here. And then also as a reminder, if not tonight, Thursday, and you're not going to be here tonight, do it tonight. Make sure you take home all your Bibles, anything you have, cushions, back seats, all these things. Sunday morning, we stand to have to pack in another 25 to 30 people into the classroom for our Bible class session, in addition to our regular attendees. So we're going to have to rearrange everything, and obviously it's a good time to remind you there are no saved seats. Obviously, with the little number of people we have, usually it's no big deal. But when we have a situation like we're having, and otherwise, always remember that. Just because you put a cushion in the back of your seat doesn't mean that's your seat. Bible class is open. Whoever gets here first gets first pick. That's the way it should be. So that's a reminder for that for Thursday evening. And then also as a reminder, there'll be no class the following week, Tuesday the 4th, as well as the 6th. But we will have class Sunday. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue on our study this evening in Genesis chapter 21, where we will begin with the exegesis of verses 8 through 14 as a unit this evening. All right, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that God the Holy Spirit is in the correct position to lead, guide, and direct us into the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So obviously, rebound is the imperative called forward before us at all times to ensure that we have maximum opportunity in regards to living our Christian life and to serve God appropriately in action with honor in this respect, and to further understand the truth of Bible doctrine apart from the FCA, which is antagonistic to it, seeking to insert its little twists and turns in regards to rationalization of doctrine as well as rejection. We want God the Holy Spirit, who is ultimate author of Scripture, to again enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. Apart from this, and I've seen it happen, if you let your sin nature rule when it comes to doctrine, you will take that doctrine and ultimately, unless you get a grip on it, will distort it in some form or fashion. You can test me if you want. I don't recommend it. We have the proper protocol. We're given it, and let's abide by it. Set ourselves apart as one of the handful of churches in the last days that is offering the pure gold of God's Word in this respect. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start from the normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for enlightening us to it, that we can know you, that we can actually have a relationship with the Creator of this universe and this world. And we ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, beginning chapter 21, which we can date around 1846 B.C., some 14 years after the birth of Ishmael. We have the birth of Isaac. This in fulfillment of God's promise, both to Abraham and Sarah. As we saw, Sarah found the whole situation quite humorous, that indeed it had attached with it God's perfect sense of humor in regards to life in and of itself. For them to have a child at such advanced ages, and both obviously being sexually dead previously too for an indeterminate amount of time, but for a while in this regards, and yet God's plan is fulfilled, showing that God takes the impossible, He makes it possible when it comes to fulfillment of His word. Nothing stands in the way. His promises will be fulfilled, and via the covenant promise regards to them having an heir, and Sarah only fathering that heir through Abraham, indeed that promise was fulfilled. And here now in verses 8 through 14, we move on from the 9 months of the birth scenario to having the child in the first 7 verses to a little bit later on, and we see now the expulsion of Hagar and Ishmael in regards to the household of Abraham, which occurs and centers around Isaac's celebration of being weaned from his mother's milk. All right, let's look here at verse 8 in the Hebrew. And the child grew and was weaned, the child being none other than Isaac. You have the wow consecutive, followed with our cal, imperfect third masculine singular of the verb to grow up, gadal, G-A-D-A-L. The youth, the child, you have the definite article, and the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, yeled, Y-E-L-E-D. And was weaned, yeah, the wow consecutive, then our nithal verb, imperfect third masculine singular, which literally means to ripen, gamal. So the child, gadal, gamaled, G-A-M-A-L, hence was weaned, taken off the breast milk, which most doctors recognize is the healthiest way to raise an infant for nourishment, etc. Greatly helps the immune system of the child and things of this nature. And Isaac comes to a point in his life where no more mommy's milk in this regard. And Abraham on that occasion made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. So they came to a determination. Being breastfed is over with. And Abraham made a great feast. You had the wow consecutive, followed with our cal imperfect third masculine singular of the verb asah, A-S-A-H. And he made, Abraham transliterated. And then our noun for feast or banquet is the common masculine singular absolute, mishateh. M-I-S-H-E-T-T-E-H, Mishateh. Not just a regular dinner feast, but a great one, a great feast. You have the adjective masculine singular absolute that modifies feast here, Gadol, G-A-D-O-L. On the day that Isaac was weaned, on the day of is the preposition bet, followed with our noun for day, common masculine singular construct, yom, Y-O-M. Being weaned, again, we have the noun, or the verb, gamal. Gamal, I didn't put the L on the transliteration, G-A-M-A-L, N-F-L. Here as an if-el infinitive construct, and then the proper noun Isaac. So sometime during the feast, verse 9, Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Vowel consecutive, our verb to see here, calendar perfect, third feminine singer, Ra'ah, R-A-A-H. Sarah, proper noun, and she saw Sarah, the son of Hagar. You had the sign of the direct object, followed with our noun for son, common masculine singular Ben, B-E-N, proper noun Hagar, the Egyptian, definite article, proper noun Mitzri, Egyptian, M-I-T-S-E-R-I-Y, whom she had born to Abraham, being the mother, the wife of Abraham, maid wife, whom she had born, relative pronoun Asher, A-S-H-E-R. She had born, gave birth to, Cal, imperfect, third feminine singer, Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. Where we get Yaled, the young youth, to Abraham, preposition Lamed, proper noun Abraham. Mocking. Mocking is the PL participle, emphatic, masculine singular verb, absolute, of the R word tisakak. T-S-E-C-H-A-Q. The forms used two times here in Genesis 26:8. Utterly mocking or making sport is the idea. And we'll look at that a little closer in our analysis. Verse 10. Upon observing Ishmael's action. Therefore, she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son. Wow, consecutive. She said, our verb to say, amar, calendar perfect, third feminine singular, A-M-A-R. To Abraham, preposition lamed, Abraham. Drive out is the PL, again emphatic, imperative. She commands Abraham to do this. Masculine singular, our word to drive out is garash, G-A-R-A-S-H. It utterly drive away or expel. We've seen the word before in regards to Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden as one example. To drive out. This maid and her son. You had the definite article, the noun, common feminine singer, absolute, for a female servant, hence a maid, our word amah, A-M-A-H. This one, this particular one, definite article, so is maid specific, servant specific, a definite article, adjective, feminine singer, zoth, C-O-T-H. And her son, wow, consecutive, sign of direct object. Common masculine singer, constructive, third feminine singer, suffix, our word for son, Ben, B-E-N. Then she gives the reasoning or cause behind her demand. For the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. He had a conjunction key for because, K-I-Y. And then in the Hebrew, first you had the negative particle lo, L-O, followed with the verb to inherit, cal, imperfect, third masculine singular, yarash, lo plus yarash, Y-A-R-A-S-H. He will not inherit or not be an heir. The son of this maid or maid servant then comes next in the Hebrew. The son of, again, our noun, ben, common masculine singular construct. Maid servant, our repeat of the word for maid with the definite article, common feminine singular, amah, A-M-A-H. This one, again, the specific servant, zoth, adjective with the definite article, Z-O-T-H. With my son Isaac. Uh, You have the preposition in, I am with, my son, first of all, common masculine singular construct, been, with the first common singular suffix, and then again the preposition am repeated, with my son, with Isaac. So, one, in relationship to her as her child. Second, the proper identification by name, Isaac, with Isaac, transliterated. Verse 11. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Well, consecutive. Then our word to translate it distress is a cal and perfect third masculine singular, ra'ah, R-A-A. It literally means bad, often translated as evil. Here, translated distressed, and it distressed. The matter, yeah, the definite article, or common masculine singular absolute noun, dabar, matter thing, or word, as it may be translated, D-A-B-A-R. It not only bothered him a little bit, it bothered him greatly. The matter then followed with the adverb meod, M-E-O-D, exceedingly, very much. Literally, in the eyes of Abraham, preposition bet, followed with the noun, common, both, dual, construct, or word for eyes, ayin, A-Y-I-N, Abraham transliterated. Because of is the preposition all, A-L, more accurately concerning. The cause of then is followed with the common feminine plural construct, our noun, adoth, O-D-O-T-H, concerning the cause of his son, Ben, again, B-E-N, with the third masculine singular suffix this time around, Abraham's son. Verse 12, God intercedes in regards to Abraham. But God said to Abraham, while consecutive, a verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, again, cal imperfect, third masculine singular. Then our noun for God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-N, common masculine plural absolute. But he said, God, to Abraham, to is your preposition L. This is directed towards him as speech is, E-L, Abraham. Do not be distressed, or stop being distressed. You have the negative adverb, all, A-L, plus the cal imperfect third masculine singular in the adjusted force. Again, our word translated distress, ra'ah, R-A-A-A, R-A-A. Do not be bad, or do not be distressed because of the lad. First of all, do not be distressed in your eyes, denoting the emotional upheaval that Abraham is dealing with. Preposition bet, followed with our noun for eyes, common both dual construct again, second masculine singular suffix, ayin, A-Y-I-N. Upon or concerning or about, preposition all, A-L. The young boy or lad, here definite article, noun, common masculine singular absolute, na'ar, N-A-A-R. And your maidservant, while conjunction, preposition all repeated, then our noun for female servant, slave, amal, with the second masculine singular suffix, A-M-A-H. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. You have the common masculine singular absolute, our noun, kol, K-O-L, followed with the relative pronoun Asher, a share, plus a share, A-S-H-E-R, all which, literally, or whatever. She says Amar. Again, I was speaking to say verb, A-M-A-R, count perfect. To you, preposition El, E-L, as she addresses Abraham in this regard, with the second masculine singular suffix, to you, that being Sarah, transliterated. Listen to her. Hear or pay heed, if you will. You had a cal imperative, singular, shama, S-H-A-M-A. Listen, literally, by her voice. You have the preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular noun, constructed with the third feminine singular suffix, kol, voice. Okay, Q-O-L. For through Isaac your descendants will or shall be named. For, because, again, our conjunction key, K-I-Y. Through Isaac is literally by means of Isaac. He is the means through which the heritage, obviously, the line of Messiah is to go through. Preposition bet here, B-E-T, Isaac, transliterated. Then you have the nifal, imperfect third masculine singular of the verb kara, Q-A-R-A. They are called, translated, will be named. Your descendants, you have the preposition with the second masculine singular suffix, lamed, followed with the common masculine singular absolute noun, our word for seed, zera, Z-E-R-A, for your seed or descendants. Verse 13. And the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. Wow conjunction, followed with the conjunction gam, and also, G-A-N, and indeed, or also. Sign of direct object, the son of the maid is our common masculine singular noun, ben, B-E-N, and the construct, followed with our word for female slave, Ama, A-M-A-H, common feminine singer absolute. For a nation, I will make or appoint, literally. Preposition lamed, then our common masculine singular absolute noun, word for nation, goy, G-O-I-Y. I will make is the cal imperfect first common singular verb shum, S-H-U-M, to make or appoint. Obviously, God's in charge of all authority. And here is language that says he will be appointed as one. because he is your descendant, conjunction key, again, to note the causes behind the statements made. He is your seed, is a common masculine singular construct, second masculine singular suffix, is our seed or descendant. Descendant is he, because your seed or descendant is he, literally. Zera, Z-E-R-A. Verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water. While consecutive, then our verb to arise early, to get up early in the morning, is a hifil, imperfect third masculine singular, shakam, made effort to deliberately get up early, S-H-A-K-A-M. So he caused to rise early, Abraham, in the morning, preposition bet, definite article, common masculine singular noun, absolute or word for morning, boker, B-O-Q-E-R. And took bread and a skin of water, while consecutive. Our verb to take is a cal imperfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. And he took, and then our word for bread is common masculine singular absolute noun, lechem, L-E-C-H-E-M, bread, food, is the idea, and wow conjunction, and that most needed, being in a wilderness, H2O, water, wow conjunction. Here, a skin of water. First, you had a common masculine singular noun, construct our word, kemeth, C-H-E-M-E-T-H. Water skin, or skin, they put water in an animal's skin, as I did. And then followed with our noun for water, common masculine plural absolute, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. Water is always in the plural, because it's a consolidation of many little drops. Engaged into Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. Okay, you had the wow consecutive. Then our verb to give, cal and perfect third masculine singular, nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. To Hagar, preposition L, E-L, Hagar. Putting on her shoulder, putting them on her shoulder, the water skin, and food items. You have the verb cal participle, masculine singular absolute, shum, placing, putting again to the point where it's going to go, S-H-U-M. Upon is a preposition all. Her shoulder is a common masculine singular construct noun with the third feminine singular suffix, shechem, S-H-E-K-E-M. Then you have the wow conjunction, sign of the direct object, definite article, then our noun for the word boy or child, common masculine singular absolute, yeled, Y-E-L-E-D. Upon her shoulder, and the boy, and we'll explain this construction in the analysis, or the child or youth, and sent her away. Wow consecutive. Then our verb to send away is a PL and perfect third masculine singular with the third feminine singular suffix shalach, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Wow consecutive. Our verb departed is the verb to walk, cal and perfect third masculine, third feminine singular, excuse me, halak, H-A-L-A-K. And wandered, kind of aimlessly here, to a certain degree. Wow, consecutive. Verb cal and perfect third feminine singular, tha'a, T-H-A-A-H. Wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba, preposition bet. Then our noun for wilderness, common masculine singular construct, midabar, M-I-D-E-B-B-A-R. Then the proper noun, Beersheba, which means a well of seven. Beersheba, B-E-E-R-S-H-E-B-A. All right, rereading verses 8 through 14. And the child grew up and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, the son, mocking. Verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Verse 11, and the matter distressed badly, if you will, Abraham greatly because of his son. Verse 12, but God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen by her voice. For through Isaac, your descendants will be named. Verse 13, and the son of the maid, I will make a nation also, because he is of your seed. Verse 14, so Abraham arose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and the boy, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. All right. The analysis of verses 8 through 14. One, verse 8 ushers in a quick time lapse now between Isaac's birth and his being weaned, or verb gamal. Two, the first couple of years of his life here are summed up in the phrase, the child grew, gadal ha yeled. We can calculate he was probably 2 to 3 years old. Some may say a little older. Obviously, it can vary. We draw this off of 2 Maccabees, which is part of the Apocrypha. It's not part of the Scriptures, but it does give you insight often to historical, for historical significance. In 2 Maccabees 7:27, as they're written in the Hebrew, as the rest of the Old Testament, have pity upon me that bared you 9 months in my womb and gave you such 3 years and nourished you. That is reference to breastfeeding the infant, the child, and brought you up unto this age, the age of dependence, independence from the breastfeeding. So the first couple of years of life here, approximately 2 to 3, are summed up in the phrase, the child grew. Three, now to celebrate Isaac's independence from mother's milk for nourishment, transitioning solely to regular food, Abraham made a great feast, Asah Mishateh Gadol, which would be apropos. He's going to a solid food diet from now on. So again, as I've stated, those who can breastfeed is preferred, at least have the human milk for the infant. It tends to have the nutrients and things that a young infant needs to develop in their body. Again, doctors say it builds up the immune system better. Children tend to have often fewer physical problems that are weaned or that are breastfed in their lives to a certain degree, etc. So God obviously makes provision in regards to the livelihood of children, man and woman, and part of the young infant's life is to enjoy the breast milk of the mammary glands of the female, who during that point in time and period in her life, through some phenomenon, is able to produce and provide for the infant. That is a great evolutionary stride in the female race, is it not? I speak as if insane. How did that come about? We won't get into that, too many visuals. All right, four, this feast was observed. Abraham making a feast, celebrate. His son now is going to be on a regular diet, not dependent now anymore on mama's ninny to sustaining for sustenance. And he makes a great feast. And for this feast was observed by the ancients, indicating that the child was mature enough to be entrusted to strangers. 1 Samuel 1, 22 and 24. In regards to Samuel, who was born to Hannah, And he is going to become part of the household of the priest. He's a prophet. Verse 21, then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and his vow, the obligation. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, verse 22, I will not go up until the child is weaned, that being Samuel. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. So it's like a dedication in regards to recognizing his ministry to be raised in the proper environment in order to operate and function in this respect. And verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. So much for the emotional attachments of mothers, for those who are oriented and acclimated to Bible doctrine in their lives. Doesn't mean it wasn't easy, but if she can do it, anybody can do it. That's the thing. Five, so the feast was, it was customary, this feast, and it recognizes that they had reached some modicum of independence and able to then survive, if you will, apart from any further help from their maternal parent. Five, it further indicated that the child ended with the most critical stage of life, assuring it would survive. That tidbit comes from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is the First Samuel kind of implies that in that respect. All right, six. Now the phrase on the day, Bet Yom, this begins focused actually on 2 days. You have a day of conflict, which is verses 8b through 13, and then the following day of banishment, verse 14, when Abraham gets up early in the next morning. And the scene takes on from there. So seven, the feastly merriment, a time of celebration, of joy, happiness, etc. The feastly merriment takes a sour turn when, quote, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Eight, the author's reference to Ishmael here as the son of Hagar. A voice calling Ishmael by name, as does Sarah's reference to him as, quote, son of this maid in verse 10. Throughout the verses, we don't see Ishmael's name specifically spoken by neither the narrator filling in the blanks or those doing the speaking, this being Sarah in this case. Nine, only Moses uses the mother's name. Sarah simply omits even referencing Hagar, giving her, if you will, that courtesy of identification. Ten, the narrative here treats Ishmael, persona non grata, a person of no interest, if you will. Is what that means. The narrative treats Ishmael here persona non grata to match his unacceptability as an heir to the Abrahamic covenant and part of the Hebrew race. He is not to be part of that line, even though he is biologically an offspring of Abraham, but not through the Hebrew genetic code, which must go through his wife, Sarah, to make that code complete. He obviously is Semitic, but not Jewish. So the purpose of omitting Ishmael basically recognizes that he is unacceptable in this whole scene of the Abrahamic covenant and being an heir in regard to Abraham and the other aspects that this would apply to. And hence, as he is kind of, if you will, disregarded in that sense, he is non persona, non grata, in effect. So 11, now the PL stem of the participle mocking, looking at this word, tisakak, in the Hebrew. Here has the idea of making sport of or scoffing in jest. We saw it back in 19, Genesis 19, the word, verse 14, where Lot's son-in-laws looked at Lot and thought he was simply mocking, joking around. As he tells him, exhorts him, up, get out of this place, 14b, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to be to his son-in-laws to be jesting. Nobody took him serious in his life because of the hypocrisy. He was his whole life was one of hypocrisy in regards to what he believed and said he believed in his actions. Also Exodus 32:6. In the golden calf scenario of the Exodus, their spiritual leader has gone for a little bit. Obviously, they're under test. Are they going to maintain spiritually? Not this group. This crowd, even though they were believers, they were reversionists. They were negative to Bible doctrine and succumbed to their SCAs. And immediately give them just a few days on their own, and already they're conjuring up their own pagan gods, which is representative, obviously, of their STAs running them up with their human viewpoint, etc. And they created a calf made out of gold. It was one of, representative of one of the gods of their time, of the pagan societies. And verse 6, so the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once, for your people. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They're God's people. God took them out of the land of Egypt. But obviously, it shows the emphasis placed upon the spirit, the role of the spiritual leader, and those under his charge, etc. So there, that obviously looks at engaging in STA activity, partying, and other types of lascivious types of action, etc. That probably went on following the and imitating the pagan rituals, etc. And then Judges 16:25. In regards to Samson, after he let Delilah cut his hair, God the Holy Spirit departed. He lost his strength as he broke the Nazarite vow in that regards. And towards the end of his life, he was nothing more than entertainment for the Philistines, people that he had wreaked havoc with throughout his entire life. You can imagine how they treated him once they were he was under their control in this regards. And they want to make sport of him just before the end when God, he makes reversion recovery and God restores his strength. and destroys them. But anyway, verse 25, it so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, they've already had a shot or two high spirits, to offer Samson. He can entertain us. This is fun. That he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. He had been made blind, so the low callousness of the SCA, you never know what depth of depravity people will go. And here, taking another human being and utilizing them, him for their own amusement, SCA amusement otherwise in that regards. So it has the idea of making sport of, scoffing in jest, making fun of, on one end of the coin. 12, now Paul in the New Testament equates the mocking here to persecution. That's why he calls it in Galatians 4:29. So the New Testament gives us a little insight in regards to the activity that in reality it was a form of persecution. Galatians 4:29, verse 28, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, verse 29, he was born according to the flesh. According to the flesh is Ishmael under Operation Hagar. Through the energy of the flesh, contrived by none other than the lady that's saying, get her out of here, Sarah. And Abraham goes along. According to the flesh, persecuted him. That's Ishmael persecuting Isaac. He was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. So Paul equates here the mocking to persecution. In that vein, it looks to be, if you will, the first act of anti-Semitism that you see in regards to one, to a Jew, even though it's his half-brother. But to what degree that plays in this, I couldn't tell you. But it, at the very least, it tells us that this SCA activity that Ishmael was engaged in God's eyes, would come under retribution of judgment otherwise for his actions to persecute the firstborn Jew of the Hebrew race. 13, now Scripture is silent as to what Ishmael was actually doing. What stunt he pulled, we don't know. People can guess all day long, but the best we can do is come to some type of general analysis in regards to it. 14, and this comes about here, the form of the participle now, our word tisakak, translated mocking. The form of the participle, the exact form that we have it in our verse, is only used otherwise in Genesis 26:8. That refers to Isaac as, quote, taking liberties, end quote, with his wife Rebekah in a way only a spouse is allowed. So our word used exactly in repetition is only found here in that context. In Genesis 26:8. And again, we have a similar situation in the context here with Isaac passing off Rebekah as his sister. Like dad, like son. See? Like the gene passes down. Isaac lived in Gerar. He's in the same general vicinity. Verse 7, when the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. Another good-looking wife as a blessing for a right man. Finding, if you will, diminished enjoyment because of SCA fear. And it came about, verse 8, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was, and this is our word translated, to Sakak is translated here, caressing his wife Rebekah. Literally, he is sexually playing around with her, if you want the blunt activity that's going on. Translated caressing. And he obviously was doing it only a way a spouse is allowed. And Abimelech of his time, the king of Abimelech of his time, saw that. And then, so then he turns around and he confronts Isaac. "What the hell are you doing? Telling me she's your sister." And it's like history repeats itself, doesn't it? So 15, what I've been able to draw out of this, I don't believe there was any sexual misconduct, but we can grab a picture and put it in the proper context here. 15, whatever his actions, it looked to be subjugating, using his older age to physically overpower the smaller Isaac in a way to mock or belittle his position in the family. In other words, 16, it paints a picture of Ishmael lording over Isaac in authority, like a husband with his being stronger than the wife, playing around, obviously wrestling or whatever, you know, stronger, subjugating her, showing his manliness, his authority. So, obviously, with Sarah's response, we can narrow it down basically to whatever activity it was. He was using his larger size. Obviously, his little half-brother there is only about 3 years old, and Ishmael is about 14 now, playing roughhouse with him, acting like he's the boss, you know. And whatever form or fashion, it was obvious that it was wrong in Sarah's eyes. So 17, it was enough to incense Sarah, as verse 10 makes clear. She saw it, and that was it. In her mind, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. See. So 18, she sets an ultimatum to her husband. Drive out this maiden, her son. Kick him out. Expel them. Get them out of the house. And she says this as an ultimatum. So 19, the emphatic command, the imperative, of the PL, drive out, our word garash in the Hebrew, sure appears out of character for the submissive wife by which all other wives should aspire. That's the first thing that should catch your attention. I mean, she's so submissive. She even goes along with her husband playing his sister because that's what she knows her husband wants. Now, all of a sudden, she's making these demands in regards to Abraham. And yet, her submissive nature as a wife is a standard set for all other wives. Now, we recognize, obviously, she's not going to be perfect. But still, this is the only occasion that I know of that you see her speaking out with such an authoritative tone to her Lord, see, in this regard. 1 Peter 3:6, as we saw in that respect, Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, Sarah's daughters, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So 20, it begs to ask why she felt sanctioned to make such a demand. What prompted this is the question that should be going in your mind. Now, most interpreters look at the aspect, well, she was jealous, she was mad, and just incensed completely, and she just flies off the handle here. That's what they said. I went a different route. And you'll wait till Thursday to hear what that route is, unless you read ahead. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. Yes, God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see things. In Jesus' name, amen.